Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. Mike D'Antilio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're live at Rouse's Markets, Highway 1085 here in Covington. Come on by and do some groceries, shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. They got whole boneless New York strip only, $9.99 per pound. Save $7 per pound. I wouldn't even get into it, but Jake Haner.
He's starting.
Officially got
the nod.
Thursday night, Nick Underhill broke that story. And then yesterday, Darren Rizzi, the coach of the Saints, announced that it was official. Your thoughts on Jake Haner and what he said yesterday? And you brought that up to me quickly. Yeah. He understands the situation.
No, he understands the task at hand. And look, the longest exposure that the Saints have gotten from Haner was against the Chargers, where he led that final four drives. Now, we got waxed 26-8 in that loss. But he went 9-for-17. I don't know. He should be about 12 of 17, 9 of 17, 122 yards. He ran a couple of times for 10 yards, leading that one field goal drive. But then the Broncos, you remember, he ended up getting a touchdown pass in that game. But when you look at it, I think they want to see what they have in Haner. I think they gave Rattler somewhat a choice as far as got opportunity to start three times, even though the supporting cast was not up to par considering all the injuries. You know, Rattler started three games that Carr missed because of that oblique injury. But when you look at the offensive line, we were missing. I don't know if that's a good enough evaluation. And you throw in Taysom Hill, Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave. They were out for some stretches in those three starts with Rattler. But it is what it is. So you're going to see Jake Haner. But you only have so many opportunities and what they have invested in you. This could be a trivia thing. I don't know if fans would get this right. They would think probably Spencer Rattler, because all the hype, was drafted a lot higher than Jake Haner. But he was not. Spencer Rattler was drafted in the fifth round. Jake Haner was drafted in the fourth round. Same school as Derek Carr, Fresno State. So they want to see what Haner could do. I mean, I don't know. He might work out. He might not. Look, he's appeared in seven games this season. He's 25 years of age, and he only had one touchdown. 14 of 29, nothing to write home about. But this is what Mike was talking about, and what I think, two things. Before, what a coach thinks of you and how you go about your business as far as being a pro day in and day out, and how do you actually approach a game? Well, don't we kind of trust? Now, the jury's still out on it with Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator. I think overall, after the first 2 weeks, he could have ran for mayor, governor, whatever. We all would have voted for him. He could had a coup and take over the Houdat Nation. I mean, how we loved him after the Carolina Cowgirl game. Mike, weren't we explosive, to say the least? You got to be kidding me. Well, Coach Kubiak says of Haner, I really like how confident he is. You got to be confident. It's not cocky. You can't be like, oh, I hope it works out. I don't know. I'm going to try. You know, you got to be confident. I can do this. I can get this done. So Coach Kubiak sees that in Haner. He's just got this natural confidence about him, which I think comes with the territory. I tell you this, all NFL quarterbacks are narcissists. Now, a different level of narcissism, but you have to really be that demanding, whether it's like, I'm not saying you're like General Patton, World War II, or Napoleon or anything, but you know, you're controlling that huddle, and also you have to have that confidence within and that somewhat narcissism to be an NFL quarterback. They say, oh, well Drew Brees is, you know, people say, oh, like, Drew Brees is not a narcissist. Hell yeah, he is. What are you talking about? You can look at all the quarterbacks deep down. Nussmeier at LSU is. You could be humble.
Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Now, they all do it differently,
Yes, there's different phases with that. But what I like, what Jake Haner said, and he looks at the team approach and him having individual success in going to the Washington Commanders games. He goes, this is a must-win game. Well, hell yeah. We'll be 5-8 right now. So we're not mathematically out, but it's a must-win game. Or then you're going to be like the Jets and the Giants, or who's mathematically eliminated already. Yeah. So this is a must-win game. But if you look at it, we're 5-8. And, you got to take this approach. What do I have to lose? We're 5-8. Why am I going to play conservative? Oh, I got to watch. I don't make any mistakes. Or, I can't lose the game. What the hell? Be footloose, fancy free. You're 5-8. So he says, what do I have to lose? And this is what the key. This is being Jake Haner. I might never get an opportunity to start a game again. I'm going to show everybody what I'm capable of doing, and let the guys know I'm confident in doing that. Because I'm telling you, it could be, I don't know how, when Derek Carr is coming back with his broken hand, I think the concussion thing is going to be all right. But if Haner kicks ass against Washington, you think Spencer Rattler's coming in next game?
No.
Hey, Mike, they're going to see what he could do and see if Haner could be part of the future of the Saints. So that's why opportunity.
I like to hear him say it.
Yes.
You've told me that different times. You don't get a lot of chances.
No.
You got to grab it where it's there. But he actually said it.
He said it, Mike. He said, look, I might never get an opportunity to start again. I'm going to show everybody what I'm capable of doing and let the guys know I'm confident in doing that to get a win, to lead the team. Because you might not get an opportunity. You can be a career backup, and you can have a great living. Look at Chase Daniel. Mike, he made over $47 million.
$44 million.
And I think he played like 13, 14 years. Mike, I don't think he even started double digits. Somewhere like 8, 9, or 10 games. All those years. So it's very limited opportunities. So can you take advantage of that? Now, if you want to be a career backup, you know what you got to do? Kick ass in training camp and preseason. And the offseason, and be great in the meeting room. Well, why do you think Andy Dalton's like a player coach with Bryce Young
now
in Carolina. You know, if you can humble yourself and do that, now look at Jameis Winston, what he's done in Cleveland. You talk about a gunslinger, and Jameis, how he's kind of turned his life around. Now it's kind of feast or famine. But right now, the way Jameis is throwing the ball around, who gives Cleveland a better chance to win, him or Deshaun Watson? Him. So right now, there's not 32 quarterbacks better than Jameis Winston.
Think about
it. So he'll have more an opportunity to play in the future. That's why Jake Hayner, that's why you want to get in that number. You got to get other teams. You get on film. What are you going to do to help a team win? And let's say it could be only like, I don't know, we have four games left. So let's say he goes 3-1 or whatever. He's going to be evaluated for the future, whether it's with the Saints or other teams. And then, again, every time you get an opportunity, can you take advantage of that and then ultimately be a starter? You know, it's the perfect example out of all the NFL quarterbacks. And you might think, how you handle adversity, you can't feel sorry for yourself. Sam Darnold. They ain't no better example, considering where he was drafted. Talk about a roller coaster. Sam Darnold sucked with the Jets. Mike, and then the Jets, they talk about New Orleans having a curse as far as all the injuries,
Jets.
Whether it's football or basketball.
Giants.
But the Jets. Man. Mike, Sam Darnold goes to the Jets. Nothing. He goes to Carolina. I remember, I think he had one completion going into the fourth quarter against the Saints when it was in Carolina. So you look at the Jets. And you're Carolina. So what if all of a sudden he didn't have confidence and he wasn't fighting? Sam Darnold's going to give up on himself? He kept fighting. He goes to San Francisco. All of a sudden, he learns how to become a pro quarterback. The right coaching staff, the right time. Then look what he's done now with the Vikings. Sam Darnold has gone from the outhouse to penthouse. Sam Darnold's going to get a Kirk Cousins-type contract. He's going to get $150 million plus. Where you were like, I don't know if he's even a starter. But look where he's at right now. So that's what Jake Hayner and all these young cats, Spencer Rattler, that's what they got to do. You got to realize you got an opportunity. Can you take advantage of the opportunity and lead your team to a victory?
Bob, the other guy, too, I think of often. And he came to the Manning Passing Academy, and he told me the story. I think I might have been one of the only ones that interviewed him. Garner Minshew. At this time, he was going to Washington State. He told me that he had signed with Alabama and that he wanted to be a coach, that he was going to be probably the third-string quarterback at Alabama. And Mike Leach gets in touch with him and says, I got a spot for you, Washington State. He went to the same high school as DeMario Davis in Mississippi. So his deal is, okay, I'm going to do it. And when he got there, Mike Leach says, do you believe in yourself? He said, I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe in myself. Now, Garner Minshew, he's not a star quarterback in the NFL. But
he's a pro.
Think of that. 60 days before Manning, he was going to go to Alabama and become a backup quarterback, and he was going to learn how to coach under Nick Saban. And then look how long he's extended his NFL career.
And he goes to Washington State, the Eastern Washington, the middle of nowhere. University of Washington Huskies, that's in Seattle.
Yeah.
But Washington State, that's like country. That's like a college town. That's country of Eastern Washington. But look what he did there. Got exposure. And then Mike, and you know what? He learned a lot of different offenses, so you can see his flexibility there. He's like a younger version to me right now. Andy Dalton had more success when he was younger, being the Bengals starter. But you look at
some similarities.
But Uncle Rico, where he's at right now, he's almost taking the approach that I'm confident enough. I don't think there's 32 quarterbacks better than me. But if I'm not in that number, I'm on that upper tier after that. And so everybody's keeping two quarterbacks. So can you be one of 64? You know, if you're trying to make a living to be a pro. What better life or an opportunity? Let's say you're young, and like for instance, he's almost engaged practically to my niece, Clayton Tune, the backup quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. He's backing up Kyler Murray, played with the Houston Cougars. Now, second year, he played against the Saints. He threw for like 200 yards in about 2.5 quarters against the Saints. And we played in the first preseason game. Well, look, Mike, that's what I told him. You have to last. You gotta be great in the meeting rooms and how you communicate with Kyler Murray and all the coaching staff. Be a team player. And then when you get the opportunity to maybe be a starter one day, do you take advantage of that? But if not, let's say you're a pro quarterback for 10, 11, 12 years. What? You don't think you're ahead in life? Then all of a sudden you're in your young 30s. Man, look all the money you made.
And all the other
and you know, you haven't gotten beaten up.
And the opportunities, because you are named now more than the guy you're going up against for a job.
Right.
In the outside, in the real world, yeah. As you would always say.
You got that NFL on the resume, that NFL alum.
Yeah. And so, I think about Minshew last year. Everybody, it was Anthony Richardson at Indianapolis. Anthony Richardson, he gets hurt, and, man, they made a run at it to get into the playoffs of one guy, Minshew.
And this year, to show you how desperate the NFL is for quarterbacks and stability, when Anthony Richardson, what is he doing? He should have lied to the media. Don't say you tired. I came out of the game because I was tired. What? You? I'm tired? You can never admit that. So what happened? Stability. Who did they bring in there? Now, he didn't last, but look what he's done the last few years. And he's a Super Bowl winner. He's the one guy that could beat the Patriots on the road, Joe Flacco. Look at New England at home. The Ravens could go on the road. Joe Flacco could win on the road. Look what he's done in the postseason. Look at Joe Flacco. Now, he's just an old season, a wily veteran. He's the better version kind of Andy Dalton and what he's accomplished. There's not enough quarterbacks. So can you take advantage of that opportunity and make it a lifestyle? Well, that's where Jake Haner's at right now. He's just starting out. You've established yourself. You know how he practices. He's a pro. Coach Rizzi, Coach Kubiak, they've commented that he's a pro. He goes about his business in the right way. Off season, regular season. So now, what you ultimately got to do? What you could do on Sunday?
You got to win. Too. Yeah, that's the other part.
And then if you throw a pick six, you got to flush it, and then you got to come back and make a play and maybe redeem yourself. You can't feel sorry for yourself. And that's one thing you can't say like, "Oh, well, what was me?" and all that. You got to fight. You just got to keep fighting and make it happen. Because, like I say, you never know how many opportunities you're going to have.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTillo, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're broadcasting live at Rouse's Markets at LA 1085 with everything you need for your holidays at the very best prices here at Rouse's, right here on the Big 870.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. Mike DeTillo, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're live from Rouse's Markets here on Highway 1085 in Covington. Come on by, do some groceries, shop and save right here at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Campbell's soup, get 10 for 10 bucks. Save $5 when you buy 10. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, she's the sideline reporter for the Tulane Green Wave, and they got a game coming up this coming Friday. Maddie Hudak. Maddie, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me. I'm trying to get away from practice as far as possible to make sure the yelling's not in the background.
That's okay. We got some yelling here, too, because we had Rouse's. So we tag-teaming on that. Maddie, it's such a quick turnaround, but also what's happened roster-wise where, you know, Darian Minsu made the decision he was going to leave and go to Duke. And then your second-string quarterback decides he's leaving. So you're down to Ty Thompson, who has announced that he will transfer, but not until after the game. I give Ty a lot of credit because now it's a showcase game for him. He can show that next school, hey, I can be a starting quarterback at this level. And so how you ended the season – is not with the same personnel you got to play against Florida, but the big change, certainly, Ty Thompson being at quarterback instead of Darian Minsu.
Yeah, I mean, you for all things considered, and looking back to the Military Bowl and the amount of opt-outs Tulane had on their starting lineup last year, it's a completely different scenario this season, but not for, you know, the most important role on the field at quarterback. And like you said, this is such a great opportunity for Ty Thompson, and he's just been such a great leader in that backup role all season long, being really just a great teammate and mentor to Darian Mensa, but also having, you know, enough time out there during games. Yes, it was during specialized packages, but he's had a little bit of game time and time on task this year. So, yeah, this is a really good opportunity for him. I'm sure we'll see the offense, you know, mold a little bit to his mobility and those types of strengths. The thing is that Florida doesn't really have any game film on him either, but he'll have, you know, the starting set of wide receivers, the starting offensive line, which, you know, speaking with Coach Summerall, it basically having your starting guys on the trenches, that'll spill your ability to really even have a chance in these types of bowl matchups. So for Tulane to have that in front of Ty Thompson, to me, is equally as important.
You know, Maddie, I thought this is a great opportunity for Tulane. You know, if you're playing in a bowl, you want to be rewarded. Why in the hell want to go play in cold weather? No, I'm not saying it can't be cold in Tampa if you got a cold front somewhere come through. But, I mean, the Gasparilla Bowl, December the 20th, and you're playing the Florida Gators, so you know you're going to have a good crowd there. But in Tampa, Florida, I thought that was ideal. You're playing on ESPN at 2:30. But having the bowl in Tampa, Florida, and looking at, like, who's hot and who's not right now. But we've kind of, Tulane, we've kind of gone from the penthouse to the outhouse when you look that all of a sudden, oh, we might be in the postseason, maybe 12-team playoff, and what has occurred the last couple of games. And, you know, Tulane's looking to avoid, what, its first three-game skid. You were around then since lost 8 in a row in 2021. So you got to stop the bleeding. Then you look on the flip side, Florida won its last three. He was in battle, to say the least, that being Billy Napier. And then all of a sudden, look, he beats LSU, who's ranked 22nd. Ole Miss is ranked 9th. And then the in-state rival, Florida State. So it's going to be a big challenge, I think, for Tulane, considering, and you talk about the quarterback situation, but how well Florida has played to close out the season.
Yeah, without question. You're getting a Florida team that, as you said, is kind of trending up at the right time, and then that victory over LSU was so important, and you look back to one of those really important things in that game. The interior for me of Florida's defensive line has really been making a difference. That's Tulane's former defensive line coach, actually, from last season, Gerald Chapman, who is their defensive line coach over there. Whether or not that allows some familiarity, a competitive edge, I'm not sure what side that really goes to, but it's also a type of situation where, like you said, it would have been pretty miserable after looking back at what the Military Bowl conditions were last year, how freezing cold it was in West Point, to have to go play another game on top of that. just a few weeks later back up north. It's just not really the reward that you're looking for the end of a year. And, yeah, you kind of are wanting to stop that dam. So they have a really difficult team that they have to go up against. And Florida's not really having any opt-outs either, but I think that really kind of breathes a fire in these guys here at Tulane. So for them to have, again, all of their starters playing in this game in Florida, in a stadium that some of these guys are familiar with. It's the Buccaneers Stadium, the Glazers, who, you know, this is the Glazer club that I'm standing in right now. So there's a lot of familiarity, and I think that's what bowl games should be. They should be fun, have themes like the Gasparilla Bowl, like a pirate parade, and be in Florida, because that's kind of what you're looking for at this point in the year with everything going on and having to recruit, retain, and put together a product on the field all in 1 week's time. It's all hands on deck outside of the bowl game on top of that.
Maddie, we had Coach Summerall on. Mike, when was that? Monday night?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah, we're at, you know, talking with him. And, you know, always like history, whether it's the Saints or Tulane. I'm looking at the last time Tulane and Florida played, 1983. Not so good for the Wave. It was like 63-21 to the Gators. And, you know, Florida leads the series 13-6-2. And they've won 11 in a row. But Coach Summerall, he got a kick out of this. Tulane has not been their last win against Florida. It was post right at the end of World War II, 1946, when they both in the SEC.
And so, we didn't cover those games either.
So I'm like, I'm have to get the part of my motivation speech. The last time we beat Florida, 1946. And you think ironically, you know, like, remember Georgia Tech, Tulane used to be in the SEC. So I thought that was – Coach Summerall got a laugh out of that, considering that, hey, well, why not now? Why not turn that stop that losing streak?
Yeah, it's not the first stat that I've heard with Tulane that's had a reference to World War II. It just goes to speak to really how incredible this era is and the last time that Tulane has kind of had this level of success. Yeah, it'll be a question of whether or not that kind of gets a little bit of fire in them. I think back to kind of the Cotton Bowl, and I remember Coach Fritz saying, he said something about it being revenge for the Rose Bowl, and none of them knew what he was talking about because that was a game that took place in like 1939. So when you're looking at games that took place, you know, over half a century ago, that's pretty significant. But I also just think, you know, even though they lost to Army, they were still battling till the end. They still scored a late touchdown, still tried to go for that onside kick. So this is a resilient team that just won't give up. And I have to say, this week of practice, it really hasn't felt like they lost a conference championship or their starting quarterback at all. And I don't think that's because they are underselling how important those games were. I really just think that they really are focused on this one game left. Having Coach Summerall be retained and having that familiarity at the top, I think that's really what matters most of all. Just when you look back to this bowl practice this time last year, everything was in complete disarray without having your head coach at the top. So being able to open this week of practice knowing that he was extended and he'll be sticking around, I think has really gotten these guys to really lock in and focus on this opponent.
Hey, I brought this up to Coach Summerall that, you know, Tulane's success this year had a lot to do with being able to run the football, and that certainly centers around Mekhi Hughes and their ability to stop the run. I told Coach, you know, last two games, you weren't able to stop the run, and you weren't able to run the football. You lost the battle in the trenches. And he was like, Mike, what we had to do is, because we fell behind, I guess maybe we went a little too quick to throw in the football. And maybe, he said, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. We should have continued to try to run the ball more. I think for me, that's a key. Florida up until the end was not really good stopping the run. I would feed it to them and see, because you're not the same team that ended, you know, late November, early December. You're different today than you were back then. I would test them rushing the football, because you know that they're going to run the football on you. They're going to try to protect their freshman quarterback, even though I think he throws the ball well. It is really Billy's system, three running backs, kind of beat you up a little bit and hit the big play. Coach Summerall said, I agree, totally. That's what we have to do if we have a chance here to beat the Gators.
Yeah, without question. I mean, again, Ty Thompson, you just look at what his strengths are, and he brings that level of mobility to the playing field as well, but he just doesn't have as much time on task with the starting wide receivers like Darian Mensah had all year. And so for them to even have struggled with their starting quarterback in these last couple of games, where I completely agree, I felt at least against Memphis, the run was abandoned really fairly early. Darian Mensah attempted more passes than Seth Hennigan, which says a lot about really where that game kind of ended for them, although that one was a little bit more of, you look at those two timely or untimely fumbles, they might have been able to win the game if not for those turnovers. But against Army, the cold, I think, really got to them, and that, to me, doesn't show up as much in the running game. It shows when the ball is bouncing off receivers' hands, when Darian Mensah is dropping the snap into the ground. That is when you really have to kind of go to those grit and grind type situations, but it is a balance of trying to kind of get back against a team that is running up the score on the other side of the ball. It's a question of really just patience and allowing that run game to break through. But I think, too, just going down, you know, changing hands at quarterback, you have to go back to what allowed this team to win eight straight games, and those included 100-yard rushing games on Mekhi Hughes. I think he had four or five in a row. He hit his career high at North Texas before halftime. That was when this offense for Tulane was really rolling. And so, to your point, even if it's not working at the beginning, really sticking through and kind of wearing down what's going to be a really big defensive line on Florida. They have well-sized cover corners. I mean, there's really not a weakness on this defense for Tulane to be able to exploit. And so when you don't kind of have those obvious vulnerabilities, the best thing to do is just wear down the whole unit by, as you said, continuing to run the ball.
Now, Maddie, a little off topic, but it's dealing with Tulane. I don't know, Tulane basketball right now is about like the Pelicans, huh? they've struggled.
Oh, man. Coach Hunter's really had some tough times.
Yeah, so what's your take on that? I mean,
I'm still so in the throes of football season that it's hard for me to really kind of assess the other sports. I know that they're, I believe, playing Florida State this weekend in the Orange Bowl Classic. I know that they did just have a victory and stop a four-game losing streak, but this is kind of, you know, another year of basketball not really performing up to expectations. So this is kind of a critical stretch for that team. But, yeah, you know, just kind of most of my attention's here over with the Tulane, who happen to have, you know, when you look at the Pelicans, too, the amount of hamstring injuries they have, it's really hard to discuss anything really of value with that team. And this is a very healthy Tulane football team, just to say that. So I'm not really sure what's going on with basketball, but plenty of time for that once this week of bowl practice wraps up.
Maddie, got a quick one for you with the basically high school season, and they may sign a few in February. What do you think the positions are that John Sumrall will concentrate on through the transfer portal? I would think offensive line has to be in that mix. Certainly you got to get a quarterback, but other than the quarterback slot and also up front along the offensive line, what are the areas you think that they're going to try to add through the transfer portal?
It's a good question. Yeah, the offensive line, obviously, it's just so hard to really, you know, we've seen really good development of these guys out there, but you really just want that experience. You see what bringing in Derek Graham and Vincent Murphy really did to allow them to just kind of seal this line. They already signed, I believe his name is John Bach, if that's correctly, John Bach II, who's an interior offensive lineman from Florida International. And then you have your starting left guard and starting left tackle coming back. To me, they're probably going to look similarly to last year in the portal. They wanted experience at cornerback, and so they went and got two grad transfers and Micah Robinson and Jonathan Edwards. You do have Rayshon Pleasant coming back, but you're going to need to replace those guys, so that's super important. Just kind of looking at some of these positions, I'm sure they'll go for a wide receiver or two in the transfer portal just because you're going to be losing all those seniors, Mario, Yoel Keith, Dante Fleming. It's a position group that's going to take a hit for sure, so I know that they were able to really pick that up in the portal. It's also kind of hard to recruit without a quarterback necessarily, but they were able to do that all last year while not being entirely sure who the starter was going to be and really not having any idea of what a John Sumrall Tulane team was going to look like. But I think that he, you know, has really been able to settle in to his recruiting. And so you're just kind of looking to see what positions I think they need to reload at, depending on, you know, how a few of these guys decide to kind of return, come back. It would be, to me, not the worst thing to kind of look in the portal too for just a tight end, perhaps, that could be kind of ready to go, because we saw some injuries to that position group this year, and the offense really struggled as a result of it. So those kind of positions, to me, are what I would see them looking at first.
Maddie, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it. You always do great work, and we appreciate your time here on WWL.
Great. Thank you guys so much. for having me.
All righty, Matty Hudak, and Matty does a great job, sideline reporter for the Tulane Green Wave, also has a podcast that she does weekly. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870, a special edition of Sports Talk. We're at Rouse's Markets, Highway 1085 in Covington. Come on down, make some groceries, talk football, and we get back. We'll be talking some LSU football right after.
And Mike, we're talking a little Heisman talk too.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, about the Heisman finalists. We have to break that down a little bit.
And I think Mr. Hunter might have that.
Yeah,
we'll be back with more sports talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. Mike DeTellier, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're live from Rouse's Markets, Highway 1085 in Covington. Come here. Make some groceries, shop, and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. 85% lean ground chuck, only $3.77 per pound. Save $2.52 a pound when you buy the ground round. Bob, this morning, LSU gets a commitment from a Florida, former Florida cornerback, I should say, Jakeem Jackson. In 2023, he was rated the number three cornerback in the nation. Signs on with Florida, the guy who recruited him to Florida, Corey Raymond, who's now at LSU. Jackson started early in the season, did sustained an injury, and did not come back. Decided to transfer. One area LSU really needs immediate help is in the secondary at both cornerback and safety. Jakeem Jackson.
The Sage Ryan, they all leaving, right?
Yeah, they all leaving the scene. So Corey Raymond's connection that he had him at Florida in 2023 helped certainly secure him for the Tigers.
And, Mike, looking at and he ended up being the all-time, reception leader, yardage and receptions, Mason Taylor. He's gone, so they just got the Oklahoma tight end.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that next, that they were able to get. The tight end.
And he's from South. Didn't he go from Southeastern to Oklahoma?
Yeah, he's in Alabama.
Okay.
He grew up in Alabama. He was a quarterback there. So-called Selfo brings him in. Sees it right off the bat. Maybe not throw the ball well enough. So he moves him to tight end. Bob, he was a really good tight end for the Southeast.
Well, yeah, if he could go from Southeast to Oklahoma.
And then Oklahoma recruits him. And then last year.
He had over 400 some yards, right?
He led the Sooners in receptions, 42 catches, 324 yards.
Okay.
And so you're bringing in now two guys with experience, need positions, certainly with Sharp. That's a spot that's wide open now with Mason Taylor. And then you lose, you know, a couple guys you thought you might be able to count on in Pimpton. He decides to get himself in the transfer portal. So it's an interesting little mix here now. You loseth, and now you gaineth. And gaining Bauer Sharp, the tight end from Oklahoma, and then this morning getting a commitment from Jakeem Jackson, who somebody that's very familiar with Corey Raymond. He was a starter at Florida before he went down with an injury.
Yeah, because you got to reload, lock and reload. I mean, and Mike, is going to change year to year. You're recruiting your own players, or you're bringing players in the transfer portal. You know what fans ask me? I said, well, I'm going to have to ask Mike more on top of this. You know what everybody's worried about, too, right now? The O-line. Because now,
get a couple of those guys.
Right, transfer because, they have guys, but they lack the experience. And they might
nothing on the resume.
They might be outstanding, but until they do something, then. So that obviously has to be a concern with Coach Kelly going into spring.
Yeah, and he did mention it that was one of the areas they would kind of concentrate on. My thing is bring in a veteran center and maybe move DJ back to guard.
Okay.
DJ really struggled at the center.
Yes.
This year. And maybe that's not his spot.
Maybe he had too much to think about.
Yeah.
You know, because you got to think. T-Bob told me when he played center and guard.
T-Bob played that most of his career.
Yes.
DJ, he never played
Mike,
before.
Whether left and right guard, what's on your plate? No, you want to more you could do. But the responsibility you have at center is way more than, obviously, left or right guard.
No question about it. Also, a guy I've been knowing for years. Bob got to meet him pretty good this year. Colin Guggenheim, the all-conference running back for Nicholls State University, one of the all-time great running backs for the Colonels. He was named the new running backs coach for Nicholls State yesterday.
Oh, because he was actually like a player coach. What I mean by player coach, he was playing at Nicholls, but he was helping out at EDY.
He was the halfback. He was working with the running backs
at
EDY.
So good for him.
And so congratulations to Colin. Good dude in life. And he'll always be able to show those grandkids, look what I did against LSU.
No, he was outstanding. You know, that's insane. LSU got Guggenheim, you know. when you think of that, and when you think about it, Mike, you know, look, all the great players that have played for John Curtis and at all different levels. As far as the proof's in the pudding, how much he produced at the next level and what he did for Nicholls State.
They recruited him. He was a quarterback.
Yeah.
And then he did a little bit of that. He kind of was their version of Taysom Hill.
Yeah, exactly.
At a certain level, but he did a lot of that. He did a lot of wildcat, and it was power run with him. I mean, every once in a while they let him throw it, but you knew what was coming at you.
Well, that's why when you're talking about those type of individuals, there's always room for them because of the success. You look at Taysom Hill. And we got to witness this. Mike, I don't think they threw a pass to the third quarter. Maybe it was before that, but Army, when they played Tulane. How about that cat? I mean, and he throws the ball well enough. Because, like, when he throws it, he looks like he knows what he's doing.
But yeah. Then,
you know.
I think there's some question of when he would become eligible. I know.
Because he's in the infantry.
Yes.
So is that like 2 years of service? Taysom Hill going on a mission for the Mormons.
Yeah. Now, one of the things.
He might be a 25-year-old rookie.
When President Trump was in the first time, he had sort of tried to modify those rules on when they could get out. And so maybe that ruling and exactly is going to be there, but it would look to be his first 2 years. He would have to serve in the Army, and then he would become eligible to play in the NFL.
You know, he won't get out of shape. You know, he'll be ready to roll. Now, you might be in a life or death situation. You know, we talk about heroes. Bob, when you think about that, and he was making millions of dollars. You talk about sacrifice for your country. You know, we have Memorial Day. Pat Tillman from the Cardinals, Arizona State, played for the Arizona Cardinals, Mike, and he goes up into Afghanistan. Then he ended up passing away. Friendly fire. How
friendly
about that?
Friendly fire kills him.
And then, but he wanted to serve his country and all that. And he had proved himself in the NFL to be able to make millions.
Bob, he was making millions and gave that up.
Right.
To serve in the service. I mean, God bless him.
So you look at him, Mike, and then also we're going to be watching you know, because we look at that Taysom Hill type player. You like the guy from Penn State.
Tyler Warren, who was a high school quarterback. He's played quarterback, halfback, fullback, tight end. They put him at wide receiver. He's also been a deep snapper and played on special teams. And that's about as close to Hill as you're going to get.
So, Mike, the more information and his workouts could be intriguing before the draft.
He's going to be a teens pick in round one.
Oh, wow.
He is that
more
good.
You could do, yeah.
We'll be back with more of our special edition of Sports Talk here on the Big 870. We're at Rouse's Markets in Covington. Shop and save at Rouse's this holiday season. We're finishing up here in hour number two of a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from Rouse's Markets, Highway 1085 in Covington. One more hour here on Sports Talk in the morning, right after this news break.